What cars are still on your list that you want to build? Personal cars. Superbird.
Yeah, Superbird is my biggest. That's like when I build my like 5 second street car, it's gonna be a Superbird.
What motor?
That's a lot of car.
I don't know. I don't know on the engine. Probably some sort of billet street motor, you know.
I'll tell you what,
be a billet big block.
Better be a fucking Hemi, because we just posted a video out there that's a Mopar that's not a Hemi, and people get pissed. Mopar guys, dude, fuck.
Oh, yeah, I know. They'll probably kill me.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. It'll be a Hemi.
Yeah, 420. Yeah, fucking 426 with a 750 double pumper on it. Goddamn right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Welcome to Oil and Whiskey, an Ironclad original. I am Josh Henning.
I'm Phil Gerber.
I'm Jeremy Gerber.
Welcome to Oil and Whiskey, an Ironclad original. Today's guest is automotive enthusiast and social media personality, all-around YouTuber, racetrack owner, Cletus McFarlane. Cletus McFarlane is a popular automotive enthusiast for his YouTube channel that you can find at Cletus M. You can keep up to date with Cletus by following him on Instagram at Cletus McFarlane. Well, Cletus, welcome to Oil and Whiskey.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys. I don't think I've met any of you in person, have I?
We have not, no.
Okay.
Never have met.
Seen lots of your videos, lots of your shenanigans, lots of cool stuff, but never crossed paths.
Extremely jealous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I imagine we would we'd cross paths one day. I've seen your guys' stuff too. So
yeah, one of these days. You be out at SEMA this year?
I don't think I'll be at SEMA, no. Unfortunately.
You can fly one of those new helicopters out there. I see you flying. You're just getting into everything.
Yeah. We try to do everything. I would like to go to SEMA. I haven't been for a few years. But it always lands on the same weekend as the World Cup Finals race. I don't know if you guys have seen that race. It's a big race for us, so we usually end up going to that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know we've been, we've never met, but we've been fans and obviously watched a tremendously probably too many hours of YouTube on your channel. But it does appear that you're basically an adult living out a, you know, 14 or 15 year old boy's fantasy or dream.
Yeah, man, I'm trying. That's for sure. I'm trying to, just do whatever makes me and the guys happy and just excited to be at work. So,
well, I mean, I know that there's probably your fans know everything about you. We've got probably a little bit different fan base, possibly maybe some crossover there, but tell everybody that doesn't know where, like how that all got started. I mean, you just kind of popped up on the scene pretty damn quick and was like, hey, I got a racetrack and we're doing a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah. You know, I started YouTubing back in 2013. I worked for 1320 Video, which is a very popular street racing YouTube channel. And, you know, I was just a young kid, had a Subaru, and went to these guys' car meets. And then I eventually asked them if I could help them with their social media stuff, you know, started their Instagram page, things like that. That grew into a full-time job. And several years later, I got the name Cletus from just a fun video that we made in the parking lot. You know, I was usually the guy behind the camera, filming racing and, you know, posting on the Facebook pages and stuff like that, which we had a really successful, you know, we had a lot of growth back then when social media was like exploding. And then, just ended up on the front of a viral video. It's complete luck. And it was, just a moment in my life that I grabbed and was able to run with. So that's, and then, I mean, it's a lot more detailed than that, obviously, but, it went viral. And then from there forward, I've been known as Cletus, and I just used it as an opportunity to make my own thing, which, you know, the owner of 1320 Video is still one of my best friends. He helped me start my own thing, you know, talk about a generous guy. There's very few people in this world that would help one of their main guys in their company start their own company. That's, you know, quite similar in some ways, you know, it's a YouTube channel, but, shout out to Kyle Loftus. He really let me fly.
Nice.
Did you approach him and said, hey, you know, I'm starting to become, you know, a thing. My, you know, Cletus is getting out there and I'd like to brand this and take it somewhere or what?
Well, I mean, from the beginning, when we first shot the video, I thought it was kind of dumb. Like the first ever Cletus video, I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm standing in front of Tom Bailey's Camaro, like saying like, hey man, I'm from America and so is my car, you know? And, and I thought it was kind of dumb. And Kyle was like, we got to post it. We got to post it. So he kind of took the lead on making like putting the video out, and he put it out and we woke up, had a million views. And then
Damn. From
there forward, he's like, yeah, man, like, you know, make some more Cletus clips, you know? So I started coming up with some content and then, you know, but I didn't take it very serious. Like I would just post it on Facebook, no monetization whatsoever. We eventually made a t-shirt. I made a couple grand off of that, but I was sitting in school doing my usual things for 1320 video, which I ran our website, all kinds of things. And I was constantly on YouTube studying titles, thumbnails, things like that to help our company. And, you know, I was just watching these other guys and I was like, dude, like, why don't I do this? Like, I already work on my car in my garage. Like, you know, what can I do to do this on my own? So I hit up Kyle and I was like, hey dude, like, what do you think about me, you know, posting like a Cletus YouTube stuff? And he was like, yeah, it's a great idea, you know? And like, so I started making some videos and they'd get a couple hundred views in a day. And then I'd be like, hey Kyle, like, is there any way I can post this one on the 1320 Facebook? Cause that's where like the Cletus fans kind of reside. He's like, yeah, no problem. So I would like sneak one in, you know, maybe once a month or something. And then that video would get a couple thousand views. It was really hard to convert from Facebook to YouTube views, which is still to this day, you know, Facebook like hates sending people off their platform to right. YouTube. So it would convert a little bit, but then just started like getting some traction. You know, I still remember to this day, the first day I woke up and got 1,000 views in 24 hours on a YouTube video. And I just was so stoked on it. Like, it's like when your guy's business took off, you know, that feeling when it's like, I gotta grind. Like you can't think about anything else, you know?
What video was that? Do you remember?
The first video that got a 1,000 views.
Yeah. The one that started making you think like, gotta get after.
Yeah. So I mean the specific video, I don't remember, but I remember the moment of looking at my phone and being like, oh shit, that just hit a million views. I could probably tell you if you don't mind if I look.
Yeah,
go for it. Did you use the Ron Burgundy line? Like, I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Yeah, I was like, at that moment, I was like, brother, I'm a YouTuber.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure you guys remember when you had like your first big hit, you know, that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a little surreal. Dude, I thought all this time, like, man, I thought that was the name your parents gave you. And I'm like, that's like an Elvis situation, like, just yeah. greatness. Like, oh, man, what a yeah. great fucking name. I mean, it's
like, yeah, no, I don't know. It just worked out good. It's a stupid name. Okay, so I think it was this video where I blew by a cop in my Corvette doing like 120 on accident, and that was like the first time I made like a really killer thumbnail that like showed, had the cop with the arrow and it said cop with an exclamation point. And there were several videos before that I like just deleted because they didn't get any views at all, you know? So I was like experimenting a lot, and I have videos on my channel too from like 15 years ago of me like making RC boat videos and RC airplanes. So I was really into that. And like, so I don't know. It just kind of was in me for a long time. And then Kyle helped me get that out. And
is the stuff that you learned back then with 1320 with your own page, thumbnails, taglines,
oh yeah.
is that the same mentality now, or how much has it changed since then?
Man, you know, it's definitely changed. You used to be able to, I don't know if it's changed a lot. Like if I go look at my old videos, they're not super different. I do definitely hunt down my titles and thumbnails more specifically now. Like before, I would just kind of shoot a video and then I'd pull a screenshot from the video. Like now, you know, I'm thinking like we need to optimize the thumbnail a little bit. And, you know, titles, thumbnails, all that. It's remained pretty close because car stuff's not that hard, right? It's not like like Mr. Beast, his stuff changes so often. I can't imagine how difficult it is for those guys to think out a thumbnail. But like car stuff, it's like, all right, I got to make the car look cool. I want my face in it typically. And then like, what's the key point? You know, what's the coolest factor about the car? The turbos, the blower. Like if you look at most of my cars, you can actually like see the coolest component of the car. And that's kind of something I've stuck to for a long time. So I guess my strategy hasn't changed much, but my cars have changed to my strategy.
Are you on a standard cadence, weekly, bi-weekly, same time of day on posting?
Nope. Anytime, any day.
Just drop it.
It wasn't always like that. Like back in the day, I tried to really optimize off like what I thought was the best times. But now since our audience is a little stronger, I just kind of send it.
Nice.
So
we always get that, like you post something you think is going to be like a home run, like it's a badass picture, it's awesome, and it goes
nowhere.
And then 2 days later, something that's like a fraction of it, as cool as that is, just goes through the roof. And you're always trying to put your finger on what it was. Was it the time of day? Was it the day? Was it the hashtag?
Or then it'll go 2 days, and then it'll be a repost on three other, you know, media channels or whatever. And then all of a sudden, then it'll just go fucking stupid, you know?
Yeah, I was actually just scrolling through your guys' profile, like looking at your titles and thumbnails. It's just something that everyone does different. You know, you can learn a lot from scrolling through someone's stuff and seeing which videos perform the best and just kind of like wondering what that thumbnail did to make it happen. I mean, I think like 50% of it is the thumbnail. 30% of it is maybe the title. And then the other 20% is like scrolling past the two together. Like if I scroll past it on my phone and it doesn't like just look killer, I try to really, you know, make something happen. And that's still something I work on with all my friends. Like go through my text messages with my buddies and like I send my thumbnails sometimes to like 8 people and get their opinions. I'll sit here for hours making thumbnails with like 3 different thumbnails. I'll send it to like 10 people and be like, dude, what do you think about this? You know, like I was just talking to Whistlin' Diesel, which you guys obviously know who that is. Like my last several text messages are like thumbnails, more thumbnails, you know, with like 2 thumbnails and then top or bottom. And, you know, like it's just,
that's wild.
Something that I really focus on.
He seems to definitely get like the action from the shock factor. People seem to genuinely like be attracted to that. If you're
trainer
breaking something, destroying something, somebody's getting hurt, somebody's getting pulled over, somebody's getting arrested.
Yeah.
It's like those are your key tags.
Yeah. The most money I've ever made on a video is me getting pulled over. It's just a picture of me on the side of the road with a cop behind my truck, my NASCAR truck. And I think that's still the most profitable video I've ever had. And that one just made itself, you know.
Did you make enough money to pay off the ticket with that?
Oh, 100%. It's got a lot of, like 7 million views. So, yeah, definitely paid off.
Paid for the truck. Back in the early day when you're doing, like you said, you did with your vet, it's in its infancy. So the monetization hasn't gotten to the point where you can start budgeting out that content. So you're just having to kind of work with what you've got and doing stuff that you already planned. Are you working with friends? Were you planning on doing something to the car anyway? So you just document it, or how are you how is the creative part different than it obviously it is now when you've got your hands in 45 different fucking things and there's an actual budget to do stuff?
Mm. Well, back then, you know, the times were simple, right? I knew how much I was making to the cent.
Right.
And I knew how much I was spending to the cent. It was like so easy. You know, I'm like, all right, I have this much money to allot to the car, which it wasn't a ton, but like my cars were already pretty cool because, you know, I used like what money I had from my job. Like that was all I really had was my car. So, now it's definitely more complicated, but luckily we have enough income with the merchandise and stuff that I try not to think about it too much. You know, if there's a big expense, like in buying a car or an engine that's, you know, $30,000. Then, yeah, we slow down and we're like, okay, is this the right move? But day to day, like, my guys literally have the freedom to just order shit, like whatever we need, because the car's got to run, you know. I don't care. I just want to be able to get in it and make cool video. So that's nice. But yeah, sometimes you look at the P&L like at the end of the month and you're like, damn, we spent a lot.
Shit, that was cool.
Yeah. Sometimes it's shocking the amount of money that goes into the last 10% of a build.
Did you have a shop and were building cars via employees that were building the cars before the racetrack, or did that come after?
No, I had the shop before the racetrack. I had three employees when I bought the racetrack. Now I have 26.
Yeah.
So
how in the world did that whole racetrack thing come about? That you stumble across that? Is that like, well, you're flipping through Zillow and you're like, racetrack. cool.
Actually, so the Freedom Factory, you know, it's a racetrack, it's an oval track that's existed here in Bradenton, Florida since 1970. And in 1970, actually, like, these are the schematics on my wall right here. I think they're dated. The date, actually, let me look. The site plan, that site plan says 1977. So if you look, it's hard probably to see on the screen, but like the top is the drag strip, that the local drag strip, Bradenton Motorsports Park. And then these guys built the oval track next to the drag strip. And then eventually the properties got separated, separate owners. And 2017, I contacted the drag strip, and I had been going to like their test and tunes and stuff. Contacted the drag strip and I was like, hey guys, like, you know, this is back when I had like 50,000 subs. And I was like, hey guys, I want to do an event, you know. And they're like, all right, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to do some drag racing. I want to do a burnout contest and, you know, like just some cool stuff. And so like, I rented a bald eagle and all this stuff. I got like the local bird sanctuary for a bald eagle. I told them, I'm like, you guys better batten down the hatches. Like, I'm bringing all my subscribers, you know. And then like 500 people came. I thought there'd be like 10,000. Humbled in that moment. I left with a lot of my own t-shirts that I thought would be sold. Anyway, I just like, this drag strip's awesome. Well, anyway, 2017, there was a bad accident at the track. And like, this, you know, oval racing is definitely not what it used to be. So it's like, it's a tough business to own. Two, they had a bad accident. So the track closed down and like, it's on the side of the drag strip, so you can't miss it when you make a pass. So you have to turn and look at it. And I was always like, what a shithole, you know, when I would drive by this place. And we just never gave it the time of day, never even looked at it. And then like, 2 years. Okay, so now we're like mid 2019. I'm at dinner with the drag strip owner, and because we became really good friends, and actually the drag strip had changed hands at that time. So the owner is one of my best friends. The old owner was one of my best friends. Now my business manager, and the current owner is one of my best friends. And so I was at dinner with the current owner, and he's, you know, we're talking about the burnout contest that I still do there, and they've like grown like crazy, right? But at the drag strip, it doesn't really work anymore because the crowd is too big for the burnout pit and it like, it's a cluster. And I was like, man, we need a new place to build the burnout pit. And we're looking at the property lines, like, where can we put this thing? And then we like, literally we're like kind of looking at the oval track and we're like, man, I wonder if that guy would sell that place. You know, like, we're just like spitballing. And so after dinner, I called the old owner of the track, now my business manager. I'm like, hey, like, do you still have that guy's number? Let's hit him up. Let's see if he'll sell the place. He just rings off some like crazy number because he thought it was, you know, he's just like, knows the real estate value. He didn't even think we were buying it to make it a track again. And we bargained with the guy, like, never got anywhere on bargaining. And I just decided like, screw it. So in all this time of now talking about the track, I went there and I was like, dude, I love this place. It's like, what a cool story this would be if we freaking brought it back, because, you know, Demolition Ranch, did you ever see like his rebuilding an abandoned mansion project?
Yeah.
Like that was crushing it. Honestly, I was like just building cars. You know, I had time to do this. And so gathered together every penny I had, literally, and then got a loan, a personal loan from the old track owner, and bought the place and then launched it. And it just like crushed on our channel, like just killed it. And like, we just spent the next, still to this day, you know, it's been over 3 years just rebuilding the place, you know.
It looks amazing, all the stuff you've done
into it. And now, yeah, now our fans come, they love it. And it's a really, like, I can go over there, I can go there right now and just like film content. It's unlimited content.
It was interesting. I watched you do, it was crazy that the figure eight was there. I see in the schematics in the background. I mean, that figure eight was there from the start, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And redoing that. And then you did all the new grass and the sod, and it, like, to have a drift competition out there and then also say, like, make sure you don't drop a wheel in the grass, because, like, this is all brand new grass. Like,
now you're getting mature, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly.
The crotchety old man.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you're – that's when my, like, finances really scaled, was when I bought the track and I started having to think of, like, okay, this – you know, like, we're not talking about a $1,500 car part. Now we're talking about $150,000 – renovation of the kitchen, you know, $250,000 renovation of the bleachers. Like, that's when my finances went from, like, I would look at you know, a $5,000 deal and be like, nah, dude, like, that's nothing. I need to be like if it's not, like, my everything scaled for me. It almost taught me. So, like, now that I'm just thinking about it, talking to you guys, like, that was probably a very pivotal moment, scaling my finances to a point where, like, really helped me say, like, I got to make some money, because this thing isn't going to be what it wants, what I want it to be without it. So
was that from, like, the motivation of having your back to the wall and all that skin in the game, you got to make something happen?
Well,
or just wanting to,
you know, my back wasn't really to the wall necessarily, but I did buy a public venue, you know, 3 months before COVID hit. So then my back was to the wall a little bit, because my grand plan to make the money back was now, like, just, like, shot in the knee. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally bought it. I'm like, we're going to have an event this summer, and we're going to make at least half our money back in the first year. Like, that was the goal, right? You know, I spent a couple million dollars. I'm like, now I got to pay back this loan and figure it out. But it also put my back to the wall and in some ways. And then I decided to, you know, host our first pay-per-view race with the Crown Vicks. And then that's become, like, probably one of the most profitable things I do now, you know? So
I think that's a fucking amazing idea. We've talked about it literally, I don't know how many years, like, going and buying cars, just really for us to do kind of like a crash derby on our way to and from work.
We just haven't figured out how to make money.
Yeah. We weren't talking about that, but, first, like, what an amazing idea. I think the way you do it is great. I mean, to get so many different influencers and people in the industry and to be a part of it, I think it's amazing. And then one, I mean, where did you get 50 or 60, like, Crown Vicks?
State auction. I mean, they're getting a little bit more scarce now, but I used to be able to go to the state auction about, like, 20 for, like, 30 grand out the door.
Wow.
Now it's more like 20 is like 65, 70 grand easily. I think lately I've been paying like $3,500 a car delivered.
How many of those do you have?
You're killing your own supply.
Well, I have 150 maybe, but the thing is, like, there's like a million Panther chassis in existence. So it's like, I'm barely touching the market. There's a ton out there. So people are always like, aren't you worried you're going to run out? I'm like, no. Like, they're everywhere. You just got to find them.
How are you keeping them all as close to even as you can?
You know, shockingly, we haven't had an issue with this. I mean, every once in a while, we'll have, like, a dud car, you know, or someone gets kind of shafted. But, like, we'll buy say we buy 20. We'll go out and we'll buy 20, you know, do the tires, go through them all, put, and like some of them have different rear ends and stuff. Some have 100,000 miles, some have 250,000 miles. We'll go out and qualify, and like the whole qualifying sheet with 20 random dudes will be like within half a second of each other. Wow. It's shocking how close they are.
We've all been to the go-kart track and you slide the guy a 20 and be like, which one's the fastest?
There's always a fast cart.
The three, number three.
There's been a couple like freak cars for sure. And so like if there's a dud car, the guy can pull off. We have spare cars. So like every race we bring five spare cars. And so like, say for example, BJ Baldwin came to the Freedom 500. His fucking radiator explodes on lap three. And like, we've tested all these cars. We're like, how does that even happen? I don't know if he just presses the throttle different than us or what. So like he jumped in a spare car and raced the entire rest of the race on the lead lap. So like that's one fun thing that we do. And then if someone has a freakishly fast car, like if they then win that race and it's like obvious, like, I'm taking that car out of the system. And
I'll use it. Some cop that slid a cam in that thing. Over the or
like, do the drivers get to mess with the cars before they go out?
No, they just get to qualify. They can't touch the cars. You open the hood, you're starting in the back of the pack. So, you know, like, and also when you're the leader in one of these races, like you are the most high risk guy. Like you're, if you let the pack get to you, like they're going to fucking crash into you. Like they're wild men. So it's pretty funny like that.
Yeah. You're dealing with a lot of guys that not ego in a bad way, but I mean, you're out there that's all competitive guys, you know, and it's not their car. So it's kind of like,
they don't own the car. And like, I don't, you know, I say in the driver's meeting, I'm like, hey guys, like don't destroy the car, like for fun. But I also don't care what happens. Like I just want you guys to race as you would like to race, but please don't just destroy the car for fun. You know, it's complete. I don't charge any of these guys anything. Like the idea has always been like, you're helping me by being in the race. And then I'm helping you by like, you can do whatever, have fun, film it, enjoy it, get a race on like these cool tracks and stuff. And so that's been good. And they're all my friends. You know, I've definitely had some celebrities come and they're like, what's the price? You know, like, what are you paying us to come? Which I understand because professional drivers get paid to come do this stuff to like add fans. And I'm like, honestly, dude, just like, we don't pay anyone. If you want to come, this is purely like a no pressure, just show up and enjoy it. I don't ever, I'm not like texting Travis Pastrana, like, hey bro, I need you to post about this. Like I try to make it so if I do get someone big to agree to it, that it's just like, whatever. Like if you post an Instagram story the day of, like that's honestly cool with me. If you don't post anything, I don't really care.
Right.
And I definitely, you know, I never advertise like, come see, you know, this specific person race, like, you know, we'll mention a list of names, but we don't like, you know, try to make it any pressure to these guys.
How many of those have you done?
I mean, maybe we're in like the teens, like we're over 10 races, I think now.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like a fucking blast.
Yeah. It does sound like a
shit. Yeah. They hit. If you guys are interested in doing one, we should talk about it. We have this race. That's my son. Hopefully you can't hear it, but we have this race at the end of the year that I could maybe give up a spot to you guys. It's called the 2.4 hours of Les Mullets, where you bring two drivers and then the first driver races 45 minutes and then we stop the field and then the other driver gets in, races the second 45 minutes. It's really fun.
And that'd be cool. That's badass.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We have a race coming up too in Bristol, like September 2nd and 3rd. So we're all the Crown Vics are out right now. They're all geared up in the parking lot. You know, maybe half the field's done, ready to go. Other half the field's getting like dialed in. And
you got to ship 50 fucking Crown Vics to Bristol?
Yeah. So we'll ship 35. Actually, we're shipping 37 Crown Vics to Bristol. And then we'll have about 12 burnout cars. So it's a 2-day event. We'll do burnout contests on day one and then Crown Vic, the Bristol 1000 on day two. The Bristol 1000. No, the 1000 has no relation to any calculation of the
blast. Of course. Yeah, good. Right.
Just the 1000, you know, like just hits.
Yeah, it does. It rolls off the tongue. Man.
Yeah.
Off the tongue. You know what I'm saying?
Bristol's a cool track. You ever been to Bristol?
I never have.
That's a fun track.
Oh, my God. It's you in a Crown Vic, you don't have to lift. It's wide
open. So. What's the like gnarliest accident you've had in one of those races? Anybody really like fuck something up?
Yeah, Bristol. Yeah. Bristol for sure. Last year we had a 10 car pile up on lap one or lap three, maybe something like that. One of the early laps. Haley Deegan was in a gnarly one for sure. No injuries. You know, the Crown Vics have cages in them. And they have even way better cages even than last year. But last year, Haley Deegan got hit pretty hard. And but she was good, walked away. All the drivers walked away.
How many people have been banned and not allowed back?
Yeah, it's got to be like one asshole of the group that you're like, God damn it.
He's not
there. He is again.
Yeah. The one guy, oh, man, I mean, I think Dave Sparks, you know, Heavy D.
Yeah.
That dude's a wrecking ball, but he's also one of my like best friends and he makes the race awesome. So like, he's not banned. Like I'd love to have him, but I've had him in several races, but like, dude, that guy's a wrecking ball. I should ban him. Oh, you know who I wouldn't have? Dude, my boy, Danny Duncan. Have you guys ever heard of him? Danny Duncan is like a lifestyle, like just savage, like, he just does anything vlogger. He's huge. And he's down here in Florida and California. And he came to one race and was just like doing donuts in the grass. And I was like, bro, you're out of here. I was like, he didn't ruin the car, but
oh,
he, you know, so there's a couple guys who didn't have the driving ability to be in the race, you know? And I like, there's no point in me saying their name, but like there's guys who like, I'm like, man, I love you. But brother, you're a hazard to yourself out here because like, if you're getting lapped within three or four laps and like the whole field is just bombing past you because you're afraid to push the gas pedal, like you really shouldn't be out there. You know, it's just, you're just asking, like, if you make the wrong move at the wrong time and then smoke the leader's car, like that just sucks. Cause I love like fair competition is my favorite part of it all.
Yeah.
Is we keep it all super fair. And, like legit competition, and I'd hate to ruin that. So
what kind of cars are you building right now?
We're building, you know, Sam actually just bought a chassis from you guys. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Sam on my channel. He's a older gentleman.
Yeah, he got a Chevelle or a Tri-5? Or
I'm not sure which chassis he got, but He's very excited about it. So I don't know. I think we're going to be doing some of that build. But right now we just finished building a Corvette with a Whipple supercharger.
What size Whipple?
It's not much Corvette there.
Look at the old 2.9. What's that?
There's not much Corvette left of that, is it?
Yeah, no, not that one. Okay. So like, I think in the last year we built that Corvette, we built a Fox Body Mustang with a Godzilla, which is a pretty cool engine. That car has already been like mid sevens.
You like that motor?
Is that Whipple charge too?
Nah, twin turbo. Okay. It's got precision turbos on it. I like the Godzilla. I think that it's pretty RPM limited because it's such a big engine. Like we've been pulling the valve seats up into the heads a little bit when we try and spin it high. Cause like we kind of thought like, let's spin this thing up. And it really didn't like that. I think the technology will get a little bit better for spinning them high, but I don't like right now. She's kind of a dog. You got to run her in the low RPMs, which it's got a Lenko in it, so that's fine. But like, you got to really think ahead to keep it in the lower RPMs. Like 7,000 RPM, she really starts running out of steam.
Yeah, we set up a bunch of chassis. They're getting more popular, but I don't have any experience actually.
I've never done
running one.
They're cool. They're heavy too. They're heavy and huge, but pretty strong. Pretty strong.
Looks like.
And then we built that Godzilla Mustang. We built like some burnout cars, you know, with big blocks and stuff like that. But I'm trying to think what other major builds we have. Oh, we're putting a Coyote in one of our Crown Vics that we have.
That'd be a nice little swap.
We just put an SMX, you know, Steve Morris motor in our El Camino. So, you know, just building on the fly. Whenever shit breaks, we try and make it better. So
how fast has that El Camino been? That thing's pretty quick, isn't it?
Yeah, the Elko's been a 640 at 223.
That's moving.
Yeah. And it's totally streetable. So off of that run, you know, I could let off the throttle at the end of the drag strip, pick up a pair of shoes and drive to McDonald's without making a single change, zero changes.
That's cool.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It looks like,
and like it could actually, it could make that run and actually go zero changes, but picking up the parachutes, it could go 150 miles down the road.
That's rad.
It's got a really neat fuel system in it.
What fuel system's in it?
Well, just like it's running on pump gas. Yep. And then when you pull up to the line and floor it, it switches over to methanol, you know, for the run, and then it goes right back to this huge pump gas tank in the back. So like we set it up for drag and drive, and it's just really simple, you know, like everything. I mean, it's not simple, but it just makes the whole driving experience for the car really simple. Like
it's just on the throttle switch.
So it's got a set of fuel rails on the outside of the intake for the methanol system. Then it's got a set of fuel rails down the middle of the intake. And when you hear me deck the car, it's like, brr, brr, and you like it just seamlessly switches from the inside set of injectors to the methanol injectors and just keeps going up on the chip, gets up on the two-step, builds boost, away it goes. And then when I let off the throttle and it falls below a pound of boost, it's just seamlessly back to pump gas and I drive back to the trailer.
Shit. What do you see using that?
Holley Dominator.
Cool.
Pretty much everything we have is Holley Dominator. We got a Haltech on that Godzilla, and then we got a Haltech on our Supra, but everything else is pretty much Holley.
Looks like you guys do a decent amount of stuff with Texas Speed, huh? I always see their name popping up on
your videos. Texas Speed was my first major sponsor, and we've been working with them for forever.
You work with Trevor or Jason over there when they were around?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and they're always talking about you guys. I talked to Jason last week, but like Trevor was always like, you guys got to do something with the Roadster shop.
Yeah, we're finishing up a 55 for Trevor right now. Trevor's a good dude.
Oh, really? That'd man, those guys really, I think those guys, I owe a lot of my career to them. You know, when I first built a car on the channel, like I hit them up for a cam. And they were like, we're going to send you a cam and heads. And I was like, what? And that was like so big for the channel, dude. Like that was huge. Because I really wanted the heads, but I was like, I can't afford them. And these LS1 heads aren't so bad.
Were you married or have a girlfriend at the time when you got heads by surprise? No, I'm not going there.
Where are you going?
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know we've talked about this before when there's been accolades, you know, in the industry. We've worked hard and we, you know, either win an award or you get something like that. It never translates over to home. It's not like you can go home and be like, yeah, you realize how big of a deal I am? Not only did I get a cam, I got a set of heads too. That's how big this YouTube thing is, right?
So, yeah.
So yes, dinner better be a little bit better tomorrow.
Step your game up.
Yeah. Right. I'm telling my parents, like, it's time for me to drop out of school to be a YouTuber named Cletus. I just got a set of heads for free.
Did you finish up school?
Yeah, I finished school. I actually went to law school, but I dropped out of law school. So I mean, like 2 years into that, and then I was at a point where I was like making enough money that I could afford to live and build, and that's when I kind of switched over.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Henning here, co-host of the Ironclad Original Oil and Whiskey Podcast. In addition to producing podcasts like Oil and Whiskey, Change Agents with Andy Stump, Danger Close with Jack Carr and others, Ironclad also works with some of the world's biggest brands like Mechanics Wear, Under Armour, the Navy SEAL Foundation, Anthem, and a ton of others to create industry-leading custom film series, commercials, podcasts, and more. We can also get your message in front of an audience of millions by placing it on podcasts and series just like this one. To check out more about Ironclad and see how they can help evaluate your company, brand, or business, check out thisisironclad.com.
So coming out of, you're in school, law school, and you're doing this, is anybody like seriously doubting you? That's like, what what the hell are you thinking? You were going to finish, you're going to get your law degree. Like,
think about grandparents, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I'm thinking, I have a pretty tight family. So my grandparents are like, what is this Cletus thing? You know, like, what are you doing? And they're like, what are you posting this stuff for? You know, because back like earlier in my career, like I was pretty like into the Cletus thing. Like I was like, brother, this camp, you know, which I still do, but it was different from what they were used to. And
it's a different generation.
Yeah, a lot of people doubted me. All my friends, you know, they're like, dude, come out. Like this YouTube thing's crazy. You know, like why are you spending so much time on this? You know, like live your life, dude, you're in college. Like this is the best time of your life. And I definitely understood that, but I was just so hooked on like what I was doing. You know, there's just nothing that could take me away from it.
How much did the law school background help? You went through some legal battles with the keeping the track open, right?
You know, yeah, the law school things helped me a lot. Not so much for the track stuff, because the track stuff is just it's at a county level, so it's not like I'm litigating or anything. But it's helped me a ton. You know, it's helped me to not expose myself to liability and, you know, be cognizant of getting screwed over by contracts, things like that. Cause I can, you know, like if I get a contract for something, I can just read it myself, which is really nice, and decide whether I'll sign it. I don't have to get, you know,
send it over to the legal team to decipher the language.
Yeah. It's not like I'm reading a different language, which is nice. But, you know, the track stuff with that mess, it's basically the commissioners, our local commissioners approved the 6,000 up to 8,000 homes to be built literally right next to the racetrack. So like you could throw a rock from my racing surface and hit where this home will be.
And they don't like, they generally don't like that, the homeowners, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, Betsy on Sunday morning is going to be pissed when her windows are rattling from a top fuel car. It's just bound to be a problem.
We had that here. We put a dyno in an in-ground chassis dyno. And we're in an industrial space, and there's commercial stuff around, and there's, you know, all sorts of retail across the street. But there's some homes back behind us, and this fucking lady comes over pissed,
not
fucking
happy.
Having an absolute meltdown over it. You're like, well, bitch, don't fucking live there. Like this has been a factory since like the 50s.
Yeah, it's not like you're out in the country.
Right. Yeah, if you're gonna live right behind an industrial building,
are you able to get any type of longevity or anything? Because you know, like you said, you know what's coming in 5 years when they're building this out and you're doing noise and they're going to say, well, you got to be done by a certain time. Is there any type of reassurance you're able to get?
Yeah, I could read you guys the language that they will have in there. Golly. And so all the deeds of the homes, they have to sign a thing now that basically says, is a deed restriction upon all the homes that are going next to the track. This was the commissioner's way of like pleasing us, which it still is. It's probably not going to,
it's like an anti-Karen clause.
It's an anti-Karen clause. That's what I should have labeled it as.
But you'd think that the people, when they come to look at that new house prior to purchase, would see what's, I mean, it's like buying next to the railroad tracks and then calling like, you know, BNSF when you're like pissed off because it's too loud.
You see what's there. You're going to have one dude there with like a 73 Nova that's just going to be in his backyard with this above ground pool being like, woo,
they're doing like, they're doing a race, like they're doing some race village style homes next to it. That's kind of like part of their solution. But, it essentially says like something like this: their adjacent racetrack and drag strip is located adjacent to this property. Freedom Factory in Bradenton Motorsports Park, and it has their partial IDs. The motor vehicle racing and ancillary activities conducted on the drag strip site and racetrack site are lawful existing uses of the property by Manatee County Code, yada, yada, yada. Via these permits, which are also labeled. And then it says the noise is well within our rights to have, and that as owning this house, you can't take out suit against the track. Now, however, these guys could probably make a contract, you know, make some sort of company. If a bunch of homeowners got together, they could make a company and then sue us that way. But like,
what we
can- I'm ready to, I'm going down with this shit. Like, the way I see this is in 8 years, dude, I'm going to have some videos that are going crazy. Cause like, I'm going to be up there in court battling these people to the fucking end, because I mean, my track has been there since 1970 and I will not let it die.
Like, that's when I'm you going, actually have a 24-hour race.
Oh yeah. And you get that.
Dude,
fucking,
I lay like in bed Christmas fired up race. For these people to make their move. I'm already, you can, I'm fired
say,
up.
Say when,
say when, brother, like you want, like I'm ready to, I'll be standing at the gate with my sleeves cut off, yeah. Like ready to fucking throw hands.
Well,
I'm so ready for it. I don't want it to happen, but I am fired up for the day.
You don't want it to happen, but at the same time, you do, it does have history. It's yours. You feel passionate about it. And at the same time, it's not going to be bad content. You know that it would be good. I mean, look at what it's Whistle and Diesel's still bad, getting though. Out of a jet ski spraying thing. I mean, he's posting yeah. videos nonstop, and that's still going on a year and a half later for like splashing somebody on a jet ski.
Oh yeah,
I'm saying live stream the legal proceedings. That's a whole nother audience there.
Oh, or you yeah, get that no, monster I mean, truck from the Doritos commercial. Remember that? I think it was like crushing houses and shit.
Oh yeah,
blowing yeah, fucking yeah, fireworks and stuff up.
It's going to definitely be interesting to see, like, you know, what who ends up buying these homes next to the – I'm willing to bet that people are going to buy homes near the track and then take out suit against the
home builders.
Developers. Yeah, because people are going to buy – I didn't know this was racetrack. So it's going to be messy, like, for sure. So
damn,
bring it on.
Come on with it.
Yeah, I'm subscribed.
Yo,
smash
yeah.
that subscribe smash that button. Subscribe,
yeah.
Dude, it's going to be hilarious.
So what's next? What's next for the channel? What's next for the racetrack?
What's next for the racetrack? We got some banger events coming up. We're doing, oh, we just unveiled a thing actually called the Cletus McFarland Driving Experience. You know, like you've seen driving experiences, right? Like named yeah. after drivers. Now you can come to the Freedom Factory and rip 25 laps in one of our Crown Vics. And they're all like tricked out with a cage. Like we have like, it's like go-karting. You can show up and they'll like kind of go-karting.
That's cool.
But in real life cars and a real life track. And Crown Vics are so easy to drive. Pretty much anyone can do it. They can go at their own pace. It's a really fun program. So we just did that. And that's like sold out for months, which I'm really pumped about. My Freedom Factory team killed it on that. And then we got Bristol coming up, but you know, major channel stuff. We're working on this. We're working on one really big project. That's like a several year out thing. But, you know, that's like another acquisition of a big project. So hopefully that pans out. But, short-term stuff, we just got some big events and some big race car builds. So
what cars are still on your list that you want to build? Personal cars.
Superbird. Yeah. Superbird is my biggest, that's like when I build my like 5 second street car, it's going to be a Superbird.
What motor?
That's a lot of car.
I don't know. I don't know on the engine, probably some sort of billet street motor, you know,
it's going to have what,
to be a billet big block.
Better be a fucking Hemi. Cause we just posted a video out there. That's a Mopar. That's not a Hemi and people get pissed. Mopar. Yeah. Guys, dude, fuck.
Oh yeah, no, they'll probably kill me.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. It'll be a Hemi.
Yeah, 420. Yeah, fucking 426 with a 750 double pumper on it. Goddamn right. Yeah.
Exactly. I just love those cars. There's a guy with like a gray one, you know, yeah. drag car with like the sick wing. Like, dude, they yeah, just seen it. Oh, love those cars.
Yeah, it's
cars,
a cool
man.
Car.
I,
is that
so,
a
I got a
Is that a childhood thing? Because I feel like that car, I had the diecast car. And as a kid, you're like, man, dude, you are attracted to that Daytona and the Superbird. Big old wings.
Yeah, no, they're so cool. And like, I would love like a carbon fiber body one. I actually, what I really want to do is have someone build me a chassis and just make the body funny car for the street.
Let us know when that project comes around. That'd be cool.
Well, you know, I'll definitely let you guys know, but I'm talking like,
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
The street version.
But I'm like, I want to have like a little button that like raises the funny car lid. So like when I pull up to get gas on drag week, I can just boop. It's like,
that would be cool.
Just jump out.
Have you done drag week in the Elko?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've done like freaking 10 of them in the Elko. Not drag week specifically, but Rocky Mountain Race Week, Sick Week, like Midwest Drag Week, all those ones I've done. So like several times.
Elko sounds like a cool car.
It sounds like a cool car.
Elko's won them several times.
Dude, to be honest, the coolest thing I've seen that I've seen you behind the wheel of is that little jet boat. How was that experience, man? Because that's probably the only thing I've ever seen on video that you really get the, like, I'm sitting in the passenger seat kind of feel.
Oh, are you talking about the sprint boats, like the ones in the little canal?
Yeah, dude, that was raddest video.
Yeah, those things are, it's like, imagine if you were going down the road at 80 miles an hour and you, and your driveway was on the right and it's a skinny driveway and you can just maintain 80 miles an hour and make a right angle turn into your driveway. Like that's what those boats can do. They, I mean, they have knives in the water. It's like having unlimited traction. Unless you come out of the water, then you will crash. Like I hit the catch fence this weekend. Fucked up my boat.
Yeah, it looked like there's a threshold there to the traction.
There is basically no threshold to the traction
in the water.
But like I hit my own wake coming back through the center of the course.
Yeah.
While turning, and sometimes she just stays hooked up. Sometimes she goes a little crazy and it hopped out and I corrected. And then once I got up on land, you know, you're just along for the ride. It's like the thing accelerates when it gets onto the grass and you're in a straight line arrow for whatever you're aimed at. And I just happened to hit one of the poles on the catch fence. So
damn.
Now you have you have another jet boat as well, right? You got a flat bottom jet boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we built these, river jet boats. They're called, you know, mini jet boats as you call them. And like, we just take those things up like crazy Idaho rapids and just beat them off boulders, jump in logs, whatever, alligators, you name it. Like those things are indestructible.
Yeah, we got a bunch of guys in the shop messing with those. There's like three or four of them.
Oh, mini jet boats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, dude. Tell them to hit me up. I'll show them spots. That's like my favorite thing to do is, well, outside of like flying stuff, jet boats are so enjoyable. They're like indestructible little missiles. And going up rapids is by far, it's got to be my top two things in life. It's like going up a rapid just feels so cool. Like you're just like, wah, nah, nah. The boat's like getting the crab beat out of it. This water's rushing by like you've never seen. You're on plane and your ground speed is zero, right? So like you're looking at the shore and the shore is not moving, but the boat's on plane. The water's going so fast.
Wow.
But when you get up in those rapids, it's the most beautiful sights you've ever seen. Your adrenaline's ripping. The boat's working. Like it is such a amazing sport. Real rapid river jet boating is crazy awesome.
I get to try that.
But you really like to do it. You have to build your own boat. No one will let you take their boat up the rapids. So
it's just or buy one. So much abuse on those things, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, mine are like totaled. Like I wouldn't even sell mine because they're so clapped out.
So you mentioned RCs at the beginning, RC plane. So I'd assume that's where the helicopter infatuations come from. Just like, you know, full size now.
I've been flying like RC planes since I was super young. They're littering my whole house.
Then you said, screw it. I'm going to take, you know, pilot license and start flying a helicopter.
Yeah, so I've got my helicopter license, I've got my airplane license, I've got my seaplane license. Like I just once I was able to afford that sport and get into it a little more, I started taking lessons on all of them so that I could just be a part of that community, because the aviation community is really cool. So I bought a little plane and, you know, been just experimenting, trying to do it as safe as possible. Like I got my licenses a long time ago, several years before I posted it on YouTube, because I didn't want to like die trying to film a cool YouTube video. You know, like you know how car guys are. Like,
yeah,
we like build a car and the first thing we do is like rip it as hard as we can. And like, it's not like with airplanes, like if you get your license and do that, like you'll probably die. So figured like maybe I'll wait a while and then rip it. So now I'm doing sporty stuff on YouTube with that stuff. But you know, I just try and do it safely. So
that's badass, dude. How old of a guy are you?
I'm 28. I 28. Think.
Dude, you ever pinch yourself and be like, I'm fucking kicking ass in a short amount of time? Does it ever like dawn on you?
I always I've been talking about it a lot lately. My friends are like telling me to shut up, but I'm always like, guys, you don't understand how lucky we are. Like, I'm like, we got to all stop for 1 second and look around because we are so lucky. And like, my wife tells me to stop saying it too. I'm like, but there's a lot worse things that we could be doing. And then it goes a lot further than that. Like the fact that we even, I mean, the list is so long. You guys know this stuff. But, yeah. Like, the list is so long about how lucky
you're
we are.
You're at the top of the list, though.
I don't know how we made it there, but I'm extremely grateful for it. But, like, man, like, we get to fly on a commercial airplane. There's probably, I would say it's less than half the population in the world gets to fly on a commercial airplane. Like, I don't know what the what it all breaks down to, but it's crazy. The fact that we live in the United States is a huge, you know, lucky thing for us. And then to live in our own home is a big deal. A lot of people who have to live with several families in one home, you know, and it's like the list of how lucky we are to do what we do is just crazy long. And I try to appreciate it every day, especially since I've had my son. That's like, I can't get it off my mind how blessed we are to just be able to have a kid and enjoy his presence. And when he has a poop explosion and his diapers had a full blown blowout, and I'm like sitting there and my wife and I are down on it. And I'm like, I'd do anything to hear this kid cry. Yeah. Like, yeah, it sucks, but
it could be worse.
At least it could be worse. So
that's badass.
Get me going on that, man. That's something I love talking about.
Well, you gotta save some, dude. You're 28 years old. You've got a lot of life to do some things, and it seems like you're knocking shit off the list like at a rapid pace. I hope it's a big list.
People have told me to save some. Like, I've had some old guys come up to me and say, "Save some for later," and I'm like, "Dude, I can't. Like, I gotta get up. Like, I'm going to. I don't know. I don't know what's next, man. But I'm not stopping to." For anything but hanging out with my family, you know, like if I'm not hanging out with my family, like I'm taking my friends to go do something cool.
That's awesome, man. Well, congrats on all your success, dude. I'm stoked for you.
Yeah. I know you got a role, and we got to ask you a couple of the standard questions that we ask all the guests.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What's in your pocket right now?
Oh, like physically.
Physically in your pockets, yeah.
Dude, I have nothing in my
nothing in your pockets. Oh, you're at home. No. We'll give you a pass. You're at home.
Like, I mean, my phone was in my pocket, and then I had a GoPro battery, but I dropped that somewhere. Actually, I'm kind of worried now. I'm surprised that that's gone.
Your very first car and a story about that car.
My very first car was a 2001, what are they called? Trailblazer. Oh. LTZ. LTZ, so you know,
yep,
ballin',
yep,
yeah,
but no SS. Had like 241,000 miles on it, and the AC compressor, dude, she'd pull her down, shut her off at a stoplight, so like you had to pull out of the stoplight, turn click her AC off. Moment you pull away, dude, button back on,
4-to-1 compression at that point.
Yeah. If that.
Best car movie and why?
Best car movie. Oof. That's tough. I'm not saying Fast and Furious.
Yeah, we got a different generation here.
Yeah, I know.
Usually older dudes.
Yeah.
Just be honestly, my favorite movie, it's not cars though, but I love American with the airplanes when they're running drugs and they're like bombing around.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Best car movie though. That would. Man, that's tough. I don't know, man. I'll have to get
What's the last car movie you watched?
Or just a movie. I mean, if you're going to
Cars. Yeah. Probably Cars with the son.
Yeah, it could be.
I just started watching Blues Brothers. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's like a disgrace, but I've heard it's the best car movie.
Collection of Crown Vicks. I mean,
that's a great
movie. Yeah, one of my buddies is like, dude, how have you not watched that? And he's just been like disgracing me about not watching it. But yeah, Cars would be the last movie I watched, and that's obviously a freaking phenomenal movie. Oh, dude, Talladega Nights is my best car movie.
There we go.
I think that's a first.
Ricky Bobby's an inspiration in my career.
That's good stuff.
Best piece of advice you've ever received?
To never burn bridges. Which I know that's probably a lot of people say that, but
no, I think that's actually a first.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't really listen to that advice.
I could call any person that I've ever met right now. I mean, there's some that don't like me, but I could call them, and they'd probably pick up. There's not a single person that I couldn't call. I mean, there's definitely some people that would be like, I hate that Cletus guy. But that's not because of a like relationship that we had that I burned. You know, there might just be a hater, but every relationship I've ever had, very, very, very few have ended like where we're not on like great terms. Maybe one ever, but I could still call him and he'd answer and we could talk. So
if you weren't doing what you're doing today, what would you be doing for a living?
Well, based on my life path, likely a lawyer. But if what I would want to do if I wasn't doing this, I'd be a pilot. I love flying more than most things. So
sweet.
Cletus, it's been great.
Been awesome, dude. Yeah.
Let us know if we can get a spot in that race. And if you're ever up in the Chicago area, man, come by and see us.
Yeah, let's do it. Just email me, man, and I'll give you my number. And then we can go from there. But it'd be cool to have you guys out.
Sweet, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Talk to you guys too. So yeah, thanks guys.
Right on.
Thank you.
Later, dude. Thank you.
See you around.
All right, man.
See you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. It's whiskey review time.
Is it? Before we get into whiskey review time, we came up empty-handed on what's in his pockets, and I talked about something last week, Josh, about a new purchase that I made. And I have it in my pocket today. And this is really something, fellas. This is something I'm pretty proud of.
Hey, we can tell. Yeah. You're not really tiptoeing into this.
I just happened to be carrying this today.
Did you just happen to be?
Get a look at that. That's that EOS limited edition Miami Vice OTF. And you guys are jealous.
I don't know. There's more guys than you that would be buying that.
Five other dudes. Well, four. Five, including me.
Man, that's got some heft to it.
Go ahead and give that a push, Josh. Tell me what you think of that action. The action is really good on that. That's my first EOS blade.
That's a great.
OTFs are always kind of a roll of the dice as far as the action on them and the tolerance in the blade. That thing's badass.
I can actually, because it is subtle, for Miami Vice. Themed stuff like normally what you would like be a lot louder than this, but I could get down with that. It's got the pop of color in the right spots, but man, the weight, the
heft to it.
And the action is amazing.
Yeah, go ahead and give her a yank.
That's a
tell me what you think.
That's pretty solid.
That's a good one.
Yeah. A lot bigger handle than most.
Congratulations to you.
Guys. Thanks, guys. Yeah. I appreciate that. It makes me feel good. I appreciate that. I like when I get...
Yeah, I want to hate it. And I want to give you some
they were
shit,
selling five of them.
Yeah.
And you...
Five total.
You could have got three of them.
No. It was... you had to DM that, or you had to comment, and they would DM you back. It was just like a limited drop. I stumbled across it just in the nick of time. There's no saying what the value is on this.
Right now. You bought it, so yeah, there is.
Exactly what you paid for. That's what it's worth.
It's worth more than that. I promise you. Let's see. Somebody should
If it was worth more than that, why didn't the guy charge more than that?
It's like anything else that's like a commodity or rare, you know, like supply and demand.
It hasn't gone up in a week.
Supply and demand. When you can't have it, when somebody can't have it, then it's worth more to them.
I would probably give you more than what you paid for it. A little more.
Exactly. Okay. Bourbon review time. This is a fucking cool knife. It's a really cool knife.
I don't like it.
Do you have any toys you want to bring to show and tell?
No, I don't.
We do knives. Yeah, we talk about knives.
I know. It's a cool knife. That's fine. Great. You got an awesome knife.
You know what I have that might be cooler?
What? Oh, this is the PGS, the classic. Right, I'm so sick of seeing that fucking knife. I'm going to chuck that thing in a river.
It'll boomerang, come right back.
It is time for something else.
Yeah.
It just so I know used you like to it.
We'll find something else.
I find something I like and I stick with it. He's like a shiny object. Just, ooh, I want that one. I want that one.
I'm like a bass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bourbon review.
Whiskey review time.
Kentucky Peerless.
Mm-hmm. This is from Peerless. This was another Jeremy special purchase. Look, guys, I got cool things.
He had to redeem himself after last week's.
Mm. Yeah, I failed. I brought two.
Hey, I got one to the table,
But that was fucking really bad, dude. Terrible.
I put some horrible things in my mouth, and that was some of the worst.
Dude, you have. I'm shocked sometimes when I hear about the things you've put in your mouth. But the Peerless is a great...
That was a glancing look. Did I go too far? Yeah. All right, we're good.
Peerless is a phenomenal brand. We went to the distillery.
Did we? We
talked about that. We did.
You were there?
I was. Yeah.
Stopped in, didn't get the whole tour.
But, down in Louisville.
Very cool place. The oldest distillery in Louisville.
You sure about that?
Question mark. Pretty sure. Quite possibly. Anyway.
One of, if not the.
Google it. But you kind of feel like a connection, you know, to some of these brands once you've been there. And I've liked everything from Peerless. It's always been a little tough to get your hands on it. So there's kind of that, like, it's a little elusive.
A little mystique.
Yeah, the mystique about it.
Kind of cool they don't come up with a flavor of the week with all types of new shit like a lot of the other guys. I think there's only been two new ones that I've seen in 4 or 5 years.
Yep. I like the bottle.
Thank you, Josh.
You're saying y'all are all saying nice things about it.
I like lamp.
I like turtles.
And that's the thing I like about the brand.
Yeah, that's good, buddy.
Is the bottle.
Yeah. Cool. Hell, I'll tell you what, when we finish it up, you can put water in it. You can have the bottle. You put it on your dresser.
Great for you.
Yeah. But the double oak was really good. Right, the what was that? The plum was what, like one of their limited editions. What do they call that?
That was one barrel pick at the distillery. Yeah. They had a plum and a
barbecue something?
Sweet rub. Right. That was phenomenal.
Killed that one, didn't we?
No, I've got that hidden in my house.
Mm. Oh,
Peerless has been solid.
I swiped it.
Been solid across the board. So this is a new release, and I saw it on the shelf. A little spendy, and it's a high rye mash bill. I saw the 110 proof, and I thought to myself. So. My buddy Josh, he keeps talking about how much he likes these high proofs. So I'm going to get this because Josh is going to like it because that's the kind of guy I am. Always thinking about others.
You are.
Especially Josh.
Yeah, especially Josh.
Yeah.
It's hot. Dude,
in a thoughtful manner.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone always says that about Jeremy. It's like, dude, you're the most thoughtful, kindest.
Is that what they say?
Well-meaning guy.
Is that really what they say?
Yep.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. But it's good. It's incredibly hot. Very, very, very hot.
Hotter than 110.
Right. Because you get some of these, they burn like on the tongue. Some of them you just get a slight burn as it goes down. This one burns from the minute it hits your mouth until it gets all the way down through your throat.
I think your stomach. I think that
it
most
gets your
of
nose
that
on the breathing in and
is the high rye mash bill. I think most of that is that spice.
Think so?
And not just straight alcohol burn. It's not. It can't be for 110. I mean, 110 is higher. I know, but yeah, we've had other stuff that
The flavor's great. Flavor's great. It's got a phenomenal scent to it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you opened it up at the beginning and like you could smell it throughout the whole room. That was just gonna be like, yeah, ooh, this is gonna be good.
And it is good. It's really good. I'd say this is the kind of thing I think you could pour one glass and you can slow roll that for most of the evening.
What would this glass do with one big ice ball?
I think you'd have yourself something pretty special there because we first glass we little dash of water in it and it calmed it down. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, this one over ice would be a
banger.
Really, really good.
Really nice.
Yeah.
But I like it neat. And just as it is, if you sip it slow, really good.
What's your number? Again.
I'm going to hit that 7.3.
Phil, what's your number?
I'm going to go 7.25. Would have rated it higher with water because it is opens up a whole lot better taste, a lot smoother with a little bit of water in it. You're going to give that a shot now. It's a lot of burn for.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of flavor. I'll deal with burn with flavor. If it's got burn and no flavor, that's when it's bad. I'm gonna give it a 7.4. I'm going to give it a 7.4. No, I think we're all right there. I think it's
a nice, tight little clump on the votes there.
It's a good one.
Buy it. It's a little spendy, though.
If you've been drinking bourbon for a while and you're wanting to try something, absolutely. If this is, hey, what's the first time bourbon?
That's not for the rookie.
That's not for you. You're going to not like bourbon if you start there.
You get you some Basil Hayden's and that.
Don't start with Basil Hayden's either. That's like fucking toilet water. Basil Hayden sucks.
Worse than the other two that we had the other day?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because
was it Mattinson's?
Tattersall.
Yeah, that was close.
It's just
Tattersall, Mattinson's. Yeah.
That was at Binny's, went over the weekend.
Really?
Had it there, yeah.
Do you know why Basil Hayden's worse than Tattersall or the truck stop Petro bourbon?
Because they make so much of it and make a big deal out of it.
They've been around for so long that it's such a well-known thing. They should know better. If you're getting sold in a truck stop.
Yeah, but it's a barrel pick by the truck stop
I would drink the truck stop bourbon every day over Basil Hayden's. The Tattersall?
Not so much.
Tattersall was pretty bad. That Tattersall sucked. It wasn't so much like how bad it was. It was how bad it tasted.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting comparison.
Is that offset at all by the beautiful bottle design?
It's a great looking bottle.
Phenomenal. The bottle looks amazing.
That's like, what is it? Is it the Bengals, Phil?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Great uniform, horrible helmet.
Yeah, it's kind of that scenario right there. That's a sports reference.
It's like a butterface.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bengals got a solid color
uniform,
right?
Who knows? I don't know. I'm making sports references over here, Josh. Just go with it. You. Just roll
Bengals
with it.
Got the best helmet. The Browns.
It's the other way around. Great helmet.
Great helmet. Yeah. Horrible uniform. Right. Yeah. Now that, I understand.
I will say out of all, we've drank a lot of bourbon and the failures are very few and far between. I mean, we've only had, it's probably a half a dozen of just
again, half a dozen came last episode.
Yeah. And we done pretty
good.
That's
three, Josh.
Yeah, that's half a dozen. No, I mean, I do think we've had good luck. I think it's time for some new shit. Phil couldn't be bothered. He found a new one that we've never had, but he was in too big of a hurry.
Yeah. Phil's in such a hurry all the time. He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
Super busy.
I've got things going on. It's mostly my wife and kids screaming at me that, no, you can't go into the liquor store again.
I thought you said you had to take a doodle. Oh, you had to let out the doodle. Again, okay. You had to let your doodle out.
Yes.
There's no way that you can say that.
I'm trying to say that.
That's a dog. That's a golden doodle? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He has a
you had to go home and let your golden doodle out of the house. That's how you say it. Still a golden doodle.
I got nothing. I
just got to own it.
Yep. I've got a rare French fighting dog, and he's got basically a tiger.
Yeah.
A cat?
It's a Bengal.
It's a cat.
Yeah. It's barely a domestic animal. Tell you what,
I've seen its claws. It's basically a tiger.
Yeah. It's growing. The thing is, it's big. It's fucking big. It's like a small tiger now.
Thanks for listening to Oil and Whiskey. An Ironclad Original. We'll be back next week. Like, review, listen again. We'll see you later.